time was again.
Naylor. Clam Naylor.
Oh, I've never been out with a doctor before. Still, you know how to give a girl a good time. I'll say that for you.
I'm pleased you've enjoyed yourself, my dear.
Where are we going? I don't live down here.
It's quieter this way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that depends what you're up to, doesn't it? Well, you going to kiss me then, Noah? Or do you want to?
I was wondering. How do you feel now?
How do I? Oh, yeah, Dave. Oh, what? Go, yeah. Stuff you give me did a trick, all right.
Good. I think perhaps you'd better have some more.
Ooh, no, I don't need any more. I feel all right, I tell you.
Come along now. Mm. Doctor's orders.
Ooh, well, in that case.
That's better.
Stuff around with, yeah?
I get headaches myself.
Oh, well, it's a good thing you're a doctor, then. I mean, if you can't look after yourself, who can you look after, eh?
Now then, wasn't you about to do something?
I have to go now.
What do you mean?
Shall we meet tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, don't go.
About 7 o'clock? The three fairs?
Oh, but what about...
Oh, God. Silly old sod. Might as well go home, I suppose. God.
William Chubb as Sherlock Holmes and Crawford Logan as Dr. Watson in The Adventure of the Pimlico Poisoner.
As a medical man, the great affection in which I have always held my friend Sherlock Holmes is clouded only by the complete disregard he had for his physical well-being. However, I have chronicled such circumstances far too often for my readers not to be aware of a remarkable constitution which, despite frequent abuse, sustained him through periods of intense mental and physical exertion that would have wrecked many a lesser being. Nevertheless, the late summer of 91 was one of those rare occasions when the criminal element of our great metropolis had good reason to breathe more easily and operate with comparative impunity. For Sherlock Holmes, the world's first consulting detective, scourge of their nefarious professions, blight on their illegal activities, was convalescing.
Watson. Huh? Would you be so good as to shut the window?
Oh, of course. Sorry, old boy. Didn't realize you were in a draft. Should have spoken up sooner. Can't have you taking a chill, can we?
Shh.
Something wrong?
A moment, Watson. Yes, definitely. 5/16 of an inch.
5/16.
Over a gap of... 5/32
of an inch. What are you doing, Holmes?
Just an experiment. By listening to the noise that my knuckle makes when I strike this wretched cast of mine, I can establish its precise thickness at any given point. For you see where I've managed to scrape a hole through the plaster with my pocket knife?
Yes.
That was my reference, a standard to which I could work. Now, after considerable practice, I can not only tell you if there is a gap between flesh and casing, but precisely what that gap is, give or take a 32nd of an inch.
Really? Any particular reason for this?
Well, either the plaster or my flesh has contracted.
I meant, is there any scientific reason for your experimentation?
None whatsoever.
Then, if you don't mind my asking, just why?
Because I'm bored, Watson. For 5 weeks, I have lain on this couch waiting for my broken limb to heal. 5 weeks of stagnation, impotence, frustration, and boredom.
Oh. It hasn't been easy, you know. I've done my best to amuse you.
My dear Watson, please forgive me. You have worked miracles, and I couldn't be in better hands. And, of course, my present predicament was entirely of my own making.
You mustn't blame yourself. It was an accident, old boy. It could have happened to anyone.
To descend in haste from a hansom cab in pursuit of justice is understandable. To do so without checking a pavement was available, the height of stupidity.
Let's see if we can't find something to occupy you then. Read the personal column yet?
Twice.
Well, how about a game of cards?
You know my views on that particularly mindless pastime.
I don't know what to do for you, Holmes, I'm sure.
In which case, might I suggest you go down to Mrs. Hudson's cellar, where you may find a brace and bit amongst the tools she keeps there.
Brace and bit? What on earth for?
I have a mind to test my plaster cast hypothesis.
You mean to drill through?
Can you think of a better way of verifying my measurement?
I forbid it. You could do yourself all kinds of damage.
Perhaps a little pain would prove diverting.
Really, Holmes?
Just my joke, Watson. You're quite right, of course. I shall just have to wait until the cast is removed. Which is in 2 weeks, I believe.
Three.
Then, in the meantime, I had better put in some target practice. Pass my revolver, would you? I fancy SH on the wall over there would be the most effective decoration.
Mrs. Hudson warned you about that last time.
Aha! The threat of eviction. Most unlikely. I really am an excellent tenant. Besides, what better protection than having one of the best marksmen in London under your roof whilst you sleep? All right, no target practice. Then I'm afraid, Watson, there's nothing for it. It'll have to be the syringe.
No.
Be good enough to pass it to me, would you?
I don't know where it is.
In the chimney, where you put it.
How do you know?
Perfectly simple.
There was soot on my hand.
You're far too wily an old bird for that.
What then?
A purely natural reaction to my mentioning the word syringe. You glanced at the chimney.
I'm not going to fetch it for you.
Quite right. Why should you encourage me in such an abominable practice? Which means I shall have to fetch it for myself. Hand me my stick, would you?
No.
You really wish to see me crawl to my addiction? Ah, a reprieve.
Yes.
For both of us.
Just what you need, Holmes. Visitor.
I doubt it.
Lestrade, perhaps.
Shouldn't think so.
Your brother, then?
Mycroft never leaves the Diogenes Club.
I'm sure it's someone for you.
I hope you're right. For both our sakes.
Good morning, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, they'll take your breath away, they do.
Thought I heard a ring at the door.
Oh, gentleman to see Mr. Holmes. Gave me his card.
Thank you. Ask him to come up, would you?
Oh, very well.
It is someone for you, Holmes.
The butcher, the baker, or the candlestick maker?
His card.
Let me see. Well, now, Earl M. Klein, detective. Do you think he wishes to consult me, Watson?
Undoubtedly.
An unusual name. Yet I cannot recall Mr. Klein in any investigative capacity.
You will see him.
Of course. Who knows what diversion the possessor of such an unusual name may provide.
Notwithstanding my delight that here at last was some possible stimulation for Holmes' extraordinary mind, I could not help feeling a certain apprehension as our visitor came up the stairs to meet me. Well over 6 feet in height, heavily built, with a massive lower jaw that protruded in an aggressive fashion. Despite a thick, luxuriant moustache, he was almost totally bald, with just a few strands of limp, gingerish-colored hair that hung down over the back of his neck like a fringe. To complete this bizarre appearance, his spectacles had been fitted with darkened lenses, thus making it impossible to determine the true expression of his countenance.
You must be Dr. Watson.
Indeed, sir.
I have been looking forward to meeting you for many years.
Oh?
America is not so far away that we haven't heard of Sherlock Holmes's most able assistant. Delighted to make your acquaintance.
And I yours, Mr. Klein.
And where is the great man?
In here, if you would care to...
With pleasure.
Mr. Klein.
Forgive me if I don't get up.
Not at all. Sherlock Holmes, I am honored, sir. Honored to meet the greatest man in our profession. Let me shake you by the hand.
A pleasure to meet you, Mr. Klein.
But one that hardly matches mine, sir. Why, you are a legend. A living legend.
You have been in England long?
Less than a month. I would have come sooner, but... well, professional duties. I'm sure you understand.
Of course. Do take a seat, Mr. Klein.
Why, thank you, sir. Would you gentlemen mind if I smoke?
Not at all. A habit I often indulge in myself.
Yes. You'll find an ashtray on the table beside you.
Thank you.
I see you smoke McCracken's number 2 leaf. A little mild for my taste.
Mr. Holmes, you amaze me. This cigarette came from my case. How on earth did
Every
you...
profession has its store of secrets, Mr. Klein. Oh, but of course, you are well aware of that. Now, what was it you wished to see me about? I presume it is a professional matter.
Indeed it is, sir. And if you permit me, I'll come straight to the point. No sense in beating about the bush, as they say.
Quite.
The Pimlico murders.
What about them?
A nasty business.
Undoubtedly.
2 murders within a week and a few hundred yards of each other.
To the point, Mr. Clark.
Public confidence in the official force is low. There are rumors that we have another Jack the Ripper on our hands.
So what is your proposition?
You're ahead of me, Mr. Holmes. But I would expect no less. My proposition is this. We work together. We solve the Pimlico murders, bring the criminal to justice, and share in the generous fees your government will willingly pay to have this matter resolved.
You flatter me, Miss Klein. But you must be aware that I already have the good doctor here as my partner. I must, therefore, decline.
Come now, Holmes. This is exactly the opportunity you've been waiting for.
I think I may be the best judge of where my best opportunities lie, Watson.
Surely. With Mr. Klein out in the field, as it were, and you here to contribute analysis and deduction, why?
We'd have the rope round the villain's neck in no time at all.
Exactly.
Well, Holmes, what do you say?
Simply this. Be kind enough to shut the door as you leave.
For one agonizing moment, I feared the American detective was steeling himself to spring at Holmes. His huge hands whitened against the wooden arms of his chair, and his lips tightened into a malevolent, bloodless slit. I was reminded of the deadly reptiles I had encountered during my Afghan service and began to calculate the time it would take me to cross the room to the drawer in which I kept my old service revolver.
Very well, Mr. Holmes. Have it your way. I'm sure we will meet again.
I'd say there was no doubt of that, Mr. Clive. By the way, do you intend to resume your walk in the park when you leave here?
How on earth did
Had you been know? Lying in the same prone position as myself, you would undoubtedly have observed the traces of damp grass and leaves that have adhered to the soles of your boots. The pavements of our capital streets are not noted for their vegetation. Good day to you.
Splendid, Mr. Holmes. Splendid. Your reputation is fully justified. Should you change your mind, please be good enough to contact me through the personal column of the Times. You know, I almost wish I was not on the side of law and order. You would make a splendid adversary.
Strange fellow.
And a somewhat dangerous one, I shouldn't wonder.
Really?
Certainly no more a detective than Mrs. Hudson, a surgeon. Although when you consider the way she wields the knife when cutting our Sunday roast, perhaps I do her an injustice.
He's an imposter, then.
Most certainly. That the possessor of such a singular appearance should choose to enter a profession where anonymity can be considered a distinct advantage is doubtful. That he should fail to see how I could deduce that he smoked McCracken's number 2 leaf, highly questionable. And that the only way he can be contacted is via the personal column of the Times, utterly preposterous.
Yes, I had my doubts. I must say, Holmes, he was impressed by that cigarette business.
Perfectly simple.
Or to you, perhaps. Perhaps you'd care to...
In my experience, American visitors to this country invariably prefer to smoke American cigarettes. As far as I'm aware, the only stockists of American cigarettes in London are Mulrain and Forsyth in Regent Street. And the only brand they stock is McCracken Number 2 Leaf. Well?
Oh, yes. As you say, perfectly simple.
So, Watson, it seems we have something worthy of our talents at last.
The Pimlico murders. But I thought a few days ago you didn't seem particularly interested.
That was before we met Mr. Earl M. Clyde.
Oh, I see. That is, no, I don't see.
You know my methods, Watson. Use them. And I recommend that you start from the premise that Mr. Klein may not be all that he seems. In the meantime, perhaps you would be so kind as to remind me of the facts of these Pimlico killings again. I presume you still have the newspaper clippings?
Yes, yes, they're over here. Ready for filing.
Then you have my undivided attention. Please proceed.
Well, now. It would seem that on the evening of 13th of October last, Ellen Dodsworth, aged 19, was seen strolling along the Vauxhall Bridge Road. Suddenly she pitched forward onto the pavement as if paralyzed. On being taken to her rooms, she developed convulsions and began screaming in agony. During the brief intervals of her torment, she gave a somewhat garbled account of being given a drink out of a bottle with white stuff in it by a tall man in a top hat earlier that evening. She died before reaching St. Thomas's Hospital, and the subsequent analysis of the contents of her stomach revealed the presence of strychnine. Not very pleasant, eh, Holmes? Holmes?
The facts of the second murder, Watson.
Eh? Very well. That took place, four nights later in the Belgrave Road. Before her death, the victim, who's not yet been named, also referred to a tall man, a silk hat, and a bottle of white stuff from which he had encouraged her to drink. She was able to add, however, that the man had described himself as a doctor. And had peculiar cross eyes. The cause of death was later established as strychnine poison. What are the police doing to catch this fiend? Has Jack the Ripper re-emerged in Pimlico, that sort of thing? I'm afraid that's all, Holmes. Not much to go on.
You surprise me, Watson.
How's that?
Based on what we know, I have already explored several speculative avenues, some of which need only the addition of a few facts to establish their validity.
Really? How did you,
Mr. Klein! Consider this, Watson. Why should an individual with such an obviously high regard for his own abilities invite me to be his partner against crime? And while you are considering, perhaps you would be so kind as to open our door to the visitor who rang a few moments ago. I hear his steps on the stairs.
It's funny how you can go for days without a caller and then... Oh, Lestrade, good morning.
Morning, Doctor.
Do come in, Inspector.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Holmes. How's the leg today?
Still weighed down by the wonders of modern surgery, but hardly worth the mention. After all, men of our profession rely more on mind than limb. Although there are occasions when the latter can be useful.
Oh, yes, whatever you say, Mr. Holmes. Though I wouldn't like to be without the use of one of my pins, I can tell you.
Then why not rest them on that chair whilst you tell me the purpose of your visit?
Thank you.
Not another Pimlico poisoning, I trust?
Oh, far from it, Mr. Holmes. Almost wish that were the case. At least it might give us a clue and put us on the track of these madmen.
If I can be of any assistance, you know you only have to ask.
Yes. But the truth is, I just don't know which way to turn. We're no nearer catching the poisoner than we are flying to the moon. The trouble is, the longer it goes on, the more likely it is there'll be people trying to copy him. It always happens. The public want results. They want him caught.
How can I be of service? Do you have any new information?
Still only know what's been reported by the press, and that's scant enough. I tell you, Mr. Holmes, we're dealing with the most dangerous type of criminal here. A maniac with no motive. And there's no telling when he's going to strike again.
Then, between us, Lestrade, we will do our best to ensure that will not occur. You have my word on that.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. I don't suppose... what I'm trying to say
is... You want to know if I've come to any conclusion concerning the Pimlico poisoning?
Exactly.
Nothing definite as yet, Lestrade. But I have certainly formulated an opinion. And if that opinion can be substantiated by fact, then I believe we may be able to flush your maniac out into the open.
Well...
I take it I can rely on your full cooperation.
The whole force is at your disposal, Mr. Holmes. You've only to say the word.
Which may come sooner than you think.
We'll be ready.
Excellent.
Right. Well, I'll say good day then, and once again, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Watson will see you out.
Oh, there was something else. This note came in this morning. That's from a crank, of course. Get them all the time on this sort of case. I thought you might find it amusing.
Thank you, Lestrade. A little diversion would be most welcome.
Yes. I'll see you out then.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Well, good day to you, Lestrade.
Thank you, Dr. Watson. Good day.
Hey, you cheered him up, Holmes.
Well, our man certainly has the cheek of the devil. Lestrade was right about our dealing with a maniac. Listen to this. I am willing to give you such assistance as will bring the murderer of both Ellen Dodsworth and Matilda Clover to justice, providing your government is willing to pay me £100,000.
Good.
I know his identity. Yours faithfully, Liam Lenser, consulting detective. What do you make of that, Watson?
I'd say you'd better watch out for yourself, Holmes. Too many consulting detectives can't be good for business, huh?
Nothing like healthy competition, Watson. Even from a murderer.
You mean... It's not one of... How do you know?
Again, apply my method. There can be no doubt about it.
Very well. Let's see now. Common enough paper could have been purchased at any one of 100 stationers.
The name, Watson. What do you make of that?
Liam Lenser. Bogus, of course. Probably Irish.
Look at this. I've written the name Liam Lenser on my cast. So much more convenient than one's shirt cuff. And underneath, Earl M. Klein, the other detective. They are, of course, one and the same person. No doubt you see the connection now.
I'm not sure.
Even when I point out there are the same number of letters, 10 in each name?
I see. But then... So has John Watson. And I doubt if even you could find a connection between Klein, Lenser and myself.
Touché, Watson. And an apology. I can hardly expect your mind to be filled with the sort of trivia I have been foolish enough to cram into mine. Let me explain. Horatio Nelson, for example. In anagrammatic form, he could be read as Honor Est Ar Nilo. Similarly, Flit on Cheering Angel is the relatively simple transposition of Florence Nightingale. Now do you see?
Yes, of course, an anagram. Liam Lenser, Earl M. Klein, one and the same. No doubt about it.
Quite so. But of even greater significance is the intriguing possibility that both may be derived from the real name of the person responsible for these Pimlico poisonings.
But he was here, then. In this very chair. Why didn't we apprehend him?
Well, I am hardly in a position to apprehend anyone. And despite your proven courage, Watson, I feel you are no match for our adversary's undoubtedly superior strength. Mm-hmm. Besides, at the time, I was still not sure he was our man, despite his darkened lenses and the reference by one of the victims to a man with cross eyes.
But you are sure now?
Oh, yes. The letter from Liam Lenser, Earl M. Klein's alter ego, refers to the second victim by name when that had been specifically withheld from the press. However Lestrade failed to spot that, I shall never know.
So... First error on the part of the murderer.
Oh, hardly an error, Watson. We are dealing with an arrogant and dangerous man. Very dangerous indeed. And one who wants to play games. Very well. We shall
oblige him.
It was obvious that the key to the murderer's true identity lay in devising further anagrams from the letters of the names he had already utilized. So, for the next few minutes, we busied ourselves, Holmes on his plaster cast and I on a page from my pocketbook, in compiling a list of all the forenames we could extract from those letters. Alec, Len, Ian, and so on. At each name, Holmes would concentrate for a few moments, comparing it with some mental list he had stored away. But as each in turn failed to register in that immense filing cabinet locked in his brain, I began to suspect that for once he was pursuing a false trail. However, as we began working on permutations that began with the letter N, and I myself had got no further than N-E...
We have him, Watson! Neil! Double L. Neil Cream. Quickly now. Pass me the index.
I realized at once that Holmes had been able to make the vital connection by relating the name to some press cutting he had filed away concerning the man. I knew that the entry of Neil Cream into that vast index of people and events could only be for something sensational.
Now, let me see. Campbell, the St. Albans Strangler, and Cochran. Wonderful forger, that man. A true artist. Cracksman. Cradley. Ah. Here we are. Cream. Ah, yes. Now I remember.
What's that, Holmes?
A series of newspaper items that make up a veritable catalogue of crime. A potpourri of poisoning, you might say. Listen to this. September 1870. Edmonton, Alberta. Fellow student, Emily Baxter, found dead in Cream's room. Autopsy, traces of strychnine. Verdict, suicide. 1874, February. McGill College, Montreal. Having qualified as a doctor. What do you think of that, Watson?
It would never have happened in my day.
Having qualified as a doctor, body of waitress, five months pregnant. Found behind surgery, bottle of chloroform beside her. Verdict, administered by some person unknown.
Extraordinary. Fellow had the luck of the devil.
January 1881, advertised revolutionary cure for epilepsy, seduced wife of sufferer when she came to surgery, sent her home. Husband died 3 weeks later. Strychnine poison.
Why, the man's a maniac. How could they possibly set him free after that?
It seems they didn't. Illinois Gazette, 13th July, 1881. Poisoner given life sentence. Following a trial lasting for 17 days, Neil Cream was found guilty of murder and sentenced to imprisonment for life in the Illinois State Penitentiary. Rejecting prosecuting counsel's demand for the death penalty, Judge Josiah P. Fairweather stated there was reasonable doubt as to whether the fatal dose had actually been administered by Cream.
That's our man, Watson.
Hardly, old chap. Not when he's serving life imprisonment several thousand miles away.
Then he's either escaped or been set free. Either way, Neil Cream is here in London. I'd stake my reputation on it.
I suppose so.
Would you mind playing errand boy, Watson?
No, of course not.
Then I have two tasks for you. Firstly, go to Scotland Yard, present my compliments to Inspector Lestrade, and ask him to send an official cable to the Governor of Illinois State Penitentiary inquiring after the present whereabouts of Neil Cream.
And I'll go straight away. Put my coat on. A bit of a nip in the air. Where else do you want me to go, Holmes? Holmes?
How do you think Alec would suit me?
I don't quite follow.
Yeah, Alec. Well, it doesn't carry quite the same weight as Sherlock, of course, but I like it. That leaves N-I-L-R-E-M. Milner. Alec Milner. What do you think, Watson?
Is that another of those anagrams?
Indeed it is.
Well, how about Alec Merlin?
Merlin? Capital, Watson. The name has certain magical properties, which may well work in our favour. Yes. Alec Merlin. Your pocketbook, Watson. Unless you'd rather take this plaster cast of mine all the way to the offices of the Times.
Oh, I see. No, of course not. There you are.
Thank you. Now then, O.M. Klein, need demonstration of your abilities. Lupus Street. 10 o'clock tonight.
What?
Alec Merlin. There. That should flush him out. Make sure that gets into tomorrow's personal column, would you? And, Watson, ask Lestrade if he could possibly spare me some time this afternoon. We have some arrangements to make before we meet Mr. Neil Cream again.
You warm enough, Holmes.
Perfectly.
I can't have you going down with a chill. Certainly the night for it. Pity they can't come up with a way of heating these cabs. Are you sure you wouldn't like another rug?
Do stop fussing, Watson.
Just looking after my patient. Would have thought you'd have learned to put up with it by now. Simon Horsath.
And who might he be?
No one, really. Well, no one in particular. Another of those anagrams.
Well, certainly not of Neil Creed.
My name, actually.
Really? Simon Horsath? John H. Watson? You have the better of me, old boy.
No. I omitted the John and used my middle name. The H stands for Hamish.
How very interesting. What time is it?
It's about 7 minutes to ten.
Oh. Have you seen anything in the street?
Quiet as the grave. Mind you, can't see that much of it. Damn fog. Not the sort of night to be out and about. Perhaps even Cream will think better of it.
He's here already, Watson.
Where?
Out there, in Looper Street. I know he is. I feel it.
I don't see how you can be so sure, old boy. He might not even have looked at the personal column today.
Impossible.
I suppose you know your man, Holmes. Mind you, you were right about his being here in England. Released from the penitentiary less than a month ago. Good behavior, all things. I didn't hear.
Your revolver, Watson.
It's all right, Sonny Lestrade. Had me a bit worried there.
Well, Lestrade?
Nothing to report, Mr. Holmes.
No sign of him, then?
Oh, but a sign of anyone. A bit too quiet for my liking. Fog doesn't help either. Seemed to be a right peace super.
I take it you're ready for him.
I've been for the last half hour, Mr. Holmes. 20 of my best men all armed, plus comfortable billings, your driver.
They're well hidden?
I had a job finding them myself, and I knew where they were. Pity it had to be Looper Street, though. Must be one of the longest in London.
Anything less, and he might not have taken the bait.
You think you'll show them?
Without question.
But when? That's what I'd like to know.
5 minutes' time. I said 10 o'clock, and I don't think Mr. Cream would be one to disappoint me.
Well, we're ready for him. I feel lucky, Mr. Holmes. You wish he'd never set foot in this country by that time.
Good God!
He's here! I knew it!
Fast as you can, Billings!
Right that way, mate! Coming from down there.
Hold on, Lestrade!
Come on, all right. Just hope we're in time.
Your man's certainly punctual, Holmes. Even early.
Possibly a little too early, Watson.
There they are. Outside the Three Feathers.
Whoa, stay there.
At least there's some light down there.
Careful, Lestrade.
That's a bit reckless of him, that.
He sees an end to his troubles, Watson.
Oh, yes, but I don't want two broken legs on my hands. I'll go and see what's happening. Now, you stay where you are, Holmes.
I must see for myself.
You're not leaving this camp.
For heaven's sake, Watson.
There'll be no argument. You're staying here. I'll be as quick as I can.
What's happening, Lestrade?
Eh? Doctor. This woman here.
No good.
Sergeant, what for?
Sir, move this crowd back. I can't hear myself think.
Well, that's better. Now then, this is Jeannie Thompson. Says she come out of the pub there and started walking down. Oh, well, look, you might as well tell the doctor yourself.
Oh, sir.
You see, I come out into the street.
Speak up, girl.
All right, Lestrade. Now, my dear, tell me your name.
Jeannie, sir. Jeannie Thompson.
All right, Jeannie. You're quite safe now. Just take your time and then tell me exactly what happened.
Well, sir, I've just been in the Three Feathers to get a top for my mother. Ever so poorly she is just now.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you, sir. Well, I come out the door, and just as I was passing the alley there...
Huh?
This man came out and got hold of me.
Can you describe him?
Oh, I don't know, sir. It happened so sudden, I didn't really get a look at him. Ever so big he was, and strong.
How was he dressed?
Oh, I'm not sure, sir. I think he had a cloak. A black cloak.
And then what happened?
Took out his fiddle and played an Irish reel, I shouldn't wonder.
Holmes!
Come here, Miss Thompson.
Really, Holmes?
I said, come here.
Come along now, Jeannie. You better do as he says, and don't be frightened.
Right.
Now, Jeannie Thompson, I have just one question for you.
Yes, sir?
Where is the tot you were taking to your mother?
I must have dropped it.
Then we'd better ask the inspector to find it for you.
No. Sir. Well, perhaps I forgot it, you know.
You mean you forgot the one thing that would bring a modicum of comfort to your poor, sick mother?
Well, I've just forgotten to look for it.
If the truth were known, your mother is probably in excellent health. Now, I want to know who put you up to this.
Who the hell do you think you are, then?
Someone who may have you charged with being an accessory to murder.
Murder? Oh, I don't know nothing about that.
Then you'd better tell me what you do know, and be quick about it.
Oh, I met this man, see? In there, about an hour ago. Give me a sovereign, he did. Said he wanted to play us some sort of trick on some friends of his.
What sort of trick?
He didn't say. I was to start screaming just before 10 o'clock. It's all I know. Honest, I didn't know nothing about no murder. Please, you've got to believe me.
I do. But listen to me, Miss Thompson. You've had a very fortunate escape this evening. Very fortunate indeed. A constable will escort you home, now. Yes.
Huh? Home? Oh, not yet. No fear. Oh, I need another drink.
Well, Mr. Holmes, seems we missed him this time.
I think not.
Mm-hmm. But, how do you mean?
Listen.
Well?
It's 10 o'clock, Lestrade. The appointed hour.
Tell my men to stand down, Mr. Holmes.
Never mind, Holmes. There's always another day. You'll have the last laugh. I know that.
Thank you, Watson. I have to admit, Cream may well have got the better of us on this occasion. And yet, I'm not completely convinced.
Come on.
Did you hear that, Mr. Holmes?
What? He's still here! Into the cab!
Call him here! Call into the street!
Come on! Come on, then!
This way!
All right, Billy! Quick as you can now! Where you are, sir!
As we sped back down Lupus Street in the direction from which we had come but a few short moments before, I was only too well aware how Holmes would be reproaching himself for having endangered the life of an innocent person in his attempt to catch this fiend. I earnestly prayed that we might at least be in good time to save that life, even if Cream were to make good his escape on this occasion.
The door, Watson! Hurry!
Now, look here, Holmes, that leg of yours.
I take full responsibility! Come on!
Dr. Cross, take 6 men and seal that end of the street.
Any sign of him, Lestrade?
Ah, Mr. Holmes. If he's still here, we'll catch him.
I fear the fog may be in his favor. The victim, is she?
She's all right. Sergeant Wood talks with her.
I must speak to
her. No, I'd rather you didn't, Mr. Holmes. She's very distressed. Seems our friend tried to force her to drink from his bottle.
His bottle of white stuff, no doubt.
No doubt. Perhaps you'd be so good as to take a look at her, Doctor.
Yes, of course.
But really,
it's for the best, Mr. Holmes.
I'll take a full statement from her tomorrow.
You're quite right, Lestrade. I've done enough damage for one evening.
No, Mr. Rome.
I had no right to risk an innocent life.
You were trying to protect a lot more.
I'm not making a particularly good job of it.
You've no reason to reproach yourself. You flushed him out. A damn sight more than I was able to do.
But I didn't let him, Lestrade.
Oh, you will, Mr. Holmes. I know you will.
Perhaps.
Ah, everything all right, Doctor?
I think so. No real harm done. She's been through a terrible ordeal, of course, but she's young. Good night's sleep, that's what she needs.
Yeah, I'll get what's ought to see her home. And, perhaps you'd best do the same with Mr. Holmes here.
Eh? All right, yes. Leave him to me.
I'll say good night then, Mr. Holmes. Billings will drive you back to Baker Street. I'll probably stop by in the morning. Unless we catch him tonight, of course. Oh, I'm inclined to agree with you about this fog being in his favour.
Good night, Lestrade.
Good night. Yes, yes. Good night.
Come on then, Holmes. Time we had you tucked up in bed.
I failed, Watson.
Nonsense.
I failed because I treated this whole business as a game. A game with Neil Cream as my opponent.
Nothing wrong with playing games, old boy.
Not when you deliberately choose to ignore the stakes. A woman's life, Watson.
But she's alive. She's all right.
This time, it will not happen again.
Come on now, Holmes. In the cab with you. That's it. And don't go taking all the rug this time, eh? Don't want to end up as my own patient. Righto, Billings. Baker Street. I hope Mrs. Hudson's kept the fire in for us. Holmes?
What was that?
Oh, sorry, old boy. I didn't know you'd nodded off.
No, I was just thinking. What did you say?
I hope there's a fire waiting for us.
Yeah.
And I think a nightcap could be in order. Strictly medicinal, of course.
Why have we stopped?
So we have.
You can't be in Baker Street already.
I wouldn't have thought so. Let me see now. Could be anywhere. Hardly see across the street. I'd better ask Billings what's going on. Perhaps he's the one that's dropped off, eh? Billings! I say, Billings!
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good Lord!
Creep! You keep your hands where I can see them, Doctor. I've no doubt a military-looking man such as yourself might well have a revolver to have.
Do as he says, Watson.
Thank you.
What have you done with Billings?
He'll be all right. Most English policemen have thick skulls, I imagine.
When did you take his place?
In Lucas Street. Where else? Can you think of a better way to escape than to become the driver of the illustrious Sherlock Holmes? Consulting detective.
I'd advise you to watch your tongue, sir.
You're hardly in a position to offer me advice, Doctor.
It's all right, Watson. Well, Cream, what do you want of us?
What makes you think I want anything? I have all I want. A dozen or more of Scotland Yard's finest men scouring Pimlico for me, whilst I sit here chatting with the very man they all expect to bring me to justice. Don't you find that amusing, Mr. Holmes?
Not especially. I would remind you that your intended victim is alive and well.
Yeah, stupid girl. Couldn't bring herself to drink out of a bottle. But you have to admit that the execution, if you forgive my choice of the word, was excellent. You down one end of Lupus Street, myself down the other. If it is a game we're playing. Oh, yes, I overheard that particular part of your conversation. Then I do seem to be playing it rather well. Don't you think?
The game is not yet over. You will make your mistake yet.
Very doubtful. But consider this, Mr. Holmes. Even in the most unlikely event that I should ever make a mistake, and I am arrested, what good would it do you? You can't prove a thing. And I believe you know that.
Believe me, Cream. I will find a way.
I don't doubt...